learning platform. And this name is going to open up and reveal so much more of who you are and who we are at the same time. And we pray that your spirit will use this time to bring about intimacy with you, bring about a more direct connection with you in our own personal lives, that it does not just rest on knowledge, but from our head it would travel down to our hearts so that it begins to invade us and to help us in our daily lives and becomes practical and becomes something that we can feel and touch and something that can be passed on to others around us because we begin to understand why you have created us, why you are revealing these names to us. We give the rest of the time into your hands. May you begin to work through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Got it. Okay, so we ended on rest, right? I'm assuming that entering God's rest, that God created the seventh day, and he rested, even though he didn't have to, but he rested for our sakes too, right? Yeah. It was very helpful to know that Elohim, the creator, the restorer, all I remember is Pastor Alice doing this thing, right? He's telling us about the story of the little boy, right? Creating, he's in it. And when I was listening to that story, and I thought, oh, Jehovah, you know, we know Jehovah, everyone knows, because that's the name, right, of God too. I'm like, I don't know if Jehovah is a name that I associate with being in it. Jehovah is a name that's like out there, right? Like when I was studying this, all the commentators say, without fail, Jehovah is the supreme name of God. So when you think the supreme name of God, he is there and we are here. He is not the Elohim that is in the mixed. And Jehovah is far away. But as I studied it more, Jehovah is actually just as what Pastor Alex was sharing with us. He is in it. And Jehovah, the name, I hope you'll see. I learned something new. I can't wait to share it with you guys. That it is very personal. Okay, very personal. But let's get some of the academia out of the way. Jehovah, the Chinese does. What's the Chinese? Yehovah. It's actually closer to the Hebrew. Yehovah, right? And that's why they always say Yehovah, and we never say Jehovah. I don't.
Isn't that from German? And from like the German theologians, or like, you know?
It's from Latin. It's a Latinization of the Hebrew word, right? So the Hebrew manuscripts only indicate the consonants, because the Jewish people respect Yehovah so much that I can't say his name. It is a disgrace. It is something that I will anger God if I said his name, because he is too holy. So it's YHWH, right? But this is known as, again, these are just academia words you don't need to know, but I put it in there. They call it a tetragrammaton. Tetra is four, grammaton is letters. Language or letter, right? So four letters. These are the consonants of the Jewish alphabet. So YHWH. How do we get Yehovah or Jehovah? Well, they took the another word for Lord is Adonai, right? They took the vowels from that. I highlighted in the red A, O, and A, and they put it in Yehovah, YH, between YH, WH. Okay? And that gets translated into Latin, into our English language today as Yehovah, Jehovah. We call it Jehovah, but the actual way they, the Jewish people pronounce it, which they actually don't, is Yehovah, 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 right? But we say Jehovah, right? Just like we, Jesus, hello, Jesse. Jesus' name is not Jesus.
Sounds like Jehovah.
Yeah, it is Yeshua. And I've been, you know, because of God's name, I've been wanting to like pray in the name of Yeshua. You're saying his name, Yeshua. Okay? So that's kind of how we get Jehovah, okay, from the word, the consonant YHWH. So this is a combination of Lord God. So Lord God. A lot of people pray, hey, Lord God, but I mean, yes, you can kind of combine that, okay? And we're gonna get deeper into the name Yehovah, obviously. I mentioned this, consider this pre-name of God. Okay, this is the name of God. So Elohim is almost, and I was thinking about that, so what's Elohim? It's also the name of God, but it's almost like his title. He's the creator, like doctor, right? Dr. Yehovah. Okay, if you will. So in the beginning of the Bible says God created. God, the creator God. He is the title. That's Elohim. Right? That's who he is. But Yehovah, when you say, oh, I see your teacher or a doctor, your creator, but what is your name? I'm creator. Yahweh. I'm creator Yehovah. Okay? That's his name. So holy that the Jewish people won't even dare to say it. Okay? So throughout these, I don't have a lot of questions, but I usually try to pin down to one question. So from now until the end of the class, or even next week, depending how far we go, there's one question I want to ask. Or you should be asking, just one question. Why did Moses need to know his name? Because Yehovah revealed this name of him to Moses first. He was the first guy to receive this name. Prior to that, Elohim, right? And Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So he knew God's name was Yehovah. So why did Moses need to know this name? Because God will not reveal his name, so secretive, it's YHWH, unless Moses needed to know. Why? Why did Moses need to know? Okay, so with Yehovah, the God who is holy, okay, this is how we typically understand when we enter this. His name is so holy. But I found something in this that just blew my mind. Sometimes it blows my mind, maybe it may not blow your mind, but I'm hoping it will, okay? Can someone read this for me? Exodus 3, 5, 6.
Then he said, do not come near and take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God.
Yes, God. So I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac. This is all Elohim. It's not Yehovah. Okay, in the Hebrew text. And then another one here, Isaiah 6:3. Claire, you read that for us?
And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
Yeah, and this is where it's Yehovah, YHWH. All right, so follow with me. We'll get to a place where I think it's pretty interesting. So, holiness tells us that God is not a person or being who transcends us, right? That's why Yehovah is, well, our idea of Yahweh is out there. Okay, there's no creation that can bear this name or characteristic. That's how I understood growing up of the name Yahweh. And as I was going through this holiness aspect of God, I came across the text Hosea 11:9. Can someone read that? Characteristic of God's holiness.
I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. This caught my attention. And I delve into a little further, and this is kind of the translation, right? The actual translation of the word, anger, right? Anger is the nostrils. That's how the Bible described God's anger. It's when your nostrils flare. Have you guys seen people angry? Yes, the nostrils give it away, okay? So he says, even though my nostrils are heavily breathing, that's God. Right? He's mad. He's angry. I am set apart. I'm holy. That's what he's saying. But I'm different. I will not terrorize you. I will not commit wrath. It's like, huh. People always talk about God in the Old Testament. He's the guy who brings down the judgment, right? He's the one who brings down judgment, but God himself says, no, I'm not like man. Even though my nostrils are heavily breathing, you guys are doing some crazy stuff, okay? I'm not going to terrorize you because I am holy. How weird is that? He's holy. He's set apart. Usually holy is like, I'm so clean. You're so dirty. Stay away, right? But God says, because I'm holy, because I'm set apart, I'm not going to terrorize you. I'm not going to do things to you that is it's going to hurt you. Interesting concept. So I want us to talk through the phases of anger. I want you to talk, okay. Some of you guys are laughing about anger. When I was doing this, I think God wanted me to talk through my phases of anger because I constantly have to apologize to my son, right? Because I get angry. I don't know why. I don't know if you guys have problems with anger. Maybe some of you guys just have. Okay, I get angry. I think that's a common thing we laugh about. Yeah, get into your groups, go through some of the common phases of anger. Okay, it starts here and then to the peak of that anger. What happens at the peak of that anger? Go break up into your groups and talk about, I promise we're going to get somewhere with these conversations, but talk through the phases of anger. Talk through it. Yeah. So just break up in 2, 3, 3, 4. What happens at first? Because we don't just go from 0 to 10 right away. Well, some people do, but usually there's a fence, right?
It's got a big group. I'll choose a step two.
How do some phases in anger? Okay. Somebody tell me through, walk me through some phases of anger. Seems like you had a lot to talk about. A lot of people angry here. Just venting, okay. Okay. Start from the beginning. What happens? What happens with anger? What are the, some of the phases? Anger.
I know, like this morning, I got angry.
Oh, okay. Good example. Live example. Fresh off the
oven. And I was. It started with like you know good intentions. I got downstairs to make coffee. Hot water wasn't ready, so that kind of got me a little.
Okay. So a little frustration there already.
Yeah, just like my timing's off, right then. I time everything.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to make a special breakfast for everybody, so I wanted to make egg McMuffins.
Ooh, nice.
Like McDonald's style. So I started to make the eggs, I'm timing everything, got the muffins ready. And then I realized that we don't have American cheese, which is the type of cheese you must have for a good quality English, like egg McMuffin. We only had sharp cheddar. And Havarti.
I was like, so cheese got you off.
No, no, no. I didn't get furious. That's just. Because you asked the question, what's the phase?
Yeah, just phases.
My phase, the first thing that got me frustrated was I lost control. I lost control of making the perfect breakfast for my family. And I'm a perfectionist. So I want everything the way I envision it. And when it starts to go off, that starts something inside of me. I wasn't angry immediately. That's my first phase. I'm like, why is there no American cheese? That's messed up the whole thing.
Right.
Because sharp cheddar, I know, doesn't melt the same way. And I was already like, it's not gonna be good. And so that's the first phase for me.
Okay.
Because you asked like what
the
first.
So what would be the second phase? You don't have to go through the same thing here. You know, cheddar cheese,
I have
American cheese.
For sure.
Yeah. But what would typically be the second phase of anger?
I kind of feel like kind of even before that one of control is like kind of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have this like picture or this expectation of what this morning or what I'm going to do or what I'm going to achieve or whatever. Like you have an expectation.
Sure.
And when that expectation isn't met, like you have either annoyance or frustration.
Okay. Expectation and control. Okay. All right. Anything else? What would be the another
she
thing?
She said that went into annoyance, right? So you have expectation control and then annoyance, which is what we talked about, or frustration.
Okay. Anything else? What would be the next phase? It doesn't have to be in order, but just obviously anger escalates, right?
Sadness, disappointment.
Okay, sadness, disappointment. Okay.
Let me add that, right? So when you feel sad and disappointed, people belittle it, right? Like, oh, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, but it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I know. I get it. I am with you.
I'm like, don't make small.
No, it is a big deal because I feel like we're getting involved in the family.
I know.
But it really messes with inside.
Yeah, it's
right?
All inside.
What happens? What get me to the next level of anger, not just here.
I thought
it was
just
go
to McDonald's.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. What is it?
My nose starts flaring.
Starts flaring.
No, I mean, like something like this.
Give me to
I know.
Give me to some non-laughing matter. when it gets to me, huh?
Kind of start to try to make sense, but there's a quick sense and then blame.
Oh, I blame shit, yeah. Yeah, because I said, who didn't buy the American cheese? Why are we even in this? Yeah, I said, who didn't tell me we didn't have American cheese?
After the plane, what happens?
He said hate. He said the word hate.
Okay, you go right to it.
Then you're like, hello, who didn't
tell me? Yeah, that's important. After hate, then what happens?
Threat and provoking.
Threats.
Like you're just
you're
at
an
escalation stage now.
And then temper tantrum.
Yeah, it's a
temper. Oh, temper tantrum. I wouldn't call it tantrum, but
so after we have funny ones like blood boils, blood pressure rises, your hearing goes, starts to yell, veins and eyes popping.
Yeah. Those are good. Yeah. We're getting to kind of the top, the max. Yeah. Abby.
For the person who never gets mad, by the way.
Okay, good.
I get mad.
But she sees anger.
Yeah, she sees a lot.
I feel like this could be like big, but it's like an optional thing. Like some people do it, like to like hurt someone.
Oh,
wow.
That's a common phase.
Right.
Okay. Phase. We see it all around.
Or through words.
Right.
I like the way Abby said it though. Yeah. She's like, hey, this is an optional thing.
Why does God say that? I'm not like man. I will not terrorize you. Terrorizing,
right.
Does that sound
right.
Like hurting you?
Yes.
Yes.
When you terrorize someone, he knows. He says, because men have a tendency to hurt people when they're angry. And God says, but I'm holy. I'm set apart. I don't know if you ever thought about holiness in that way. Right? That holiness means setting apart. He says, yes, I'm clean and I'm perfect. But I'm set apart. I'm not like you. I'm not like man. I do not hurt people. I get angry. My nostrils flare. I hurt people. But so keep that in mind. That's a character of Jehovah, who is holy, because his name is the holy. This is the holiest name. The supreme name of God, that he says, I'm set apart. Here's the anger meter, the actual anger meter, used by psychologists, and it came up quite often, so I thought, I'd share it with you. You're calm. There's cheese in it. You're in a state of relaxation this morning. You walk downstairs, right? Okay? So notice there's a common characteristic that's throughout this entire meter, right? Then you get mildly irritated. You're in disbelief that this happened, okay? And you have your self-control intact, you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm still good.
Yeah, you're good. You can see alternatives to the situation.
Yeah, the sharp cheddar.
Then you get frustrated. You feel like ants are crawling up your skin. I don't know. You're still in self-control. But you're getting frustrated. Then you get angry. You feel consumed by the negative energy, right, of the situation. Your prompt to act is strong. You've got to do something. Your urge is intense. You're at an increasing likelihood to say or do something destructive. That's what Abby was talking about. Destructive is hurtful. Your self-control, you still haven't done anything, your self-control is shrinking. I think that's a good word, it's shrinking, right? Then you're explosive. You lost control of your ability to manage your thoughts. This is when things come out. And this is what it, like what Abby was mentioning, it comes out in different ways, right? It could be verbal, physical, but it comes out in different ways. Or it could be self-afflicting, it comes out in different ways. And I don't know why during my, I wasn't expecting this as I was preparing Jehovah, but this, God says, this is important. I want my people to know that I'm not like this. I am holy. And I see all the things that's going on with my people. And it is negative. And I don't feel good. Right? God feels. But what's the common characteristic throughout calm all the way to explosive? What changes? What's the common denominator that changes?
Self-control.
Control. Self-control. Right. That's what changes. And God says, I'm not like man, right? He specifically says, I am not like man because I have self-control. And that's quite a characteristic for us to know about God, because we know that Jehovah is always in control, and we'll get there. He's always in control. Have you ever thought about God having self-control? That's so different. Having self-control, because man, what we struggle with, it cannot be anger, it may not be anger, but we struggle with self-control so much. God says, I'm not like you guys. And I understand. I have self-control. And just like, wow, Jehovah, Yahweh, is a God who has self-control. Though he is met with things that that he has expectations for us, right? For his creation. He's the Elohim. He's like, oh, I'm so happy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It is good. He's so happy. It's time to rest. But yet, his creation disobeyed him, continued to walk away from him. Yeah, he has self-control. You guys have any response to that? But if you don't, that's okay. Just keep that in the back of your mind.
I want to share something that's called a journey about God's anger.
Mm-hmm.
Different from my anger.
Yeah.
My anger is just, I am angry.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the purpose.
Yeah.
I'm angry. But I feel God's anger is, you need to know it's wrong. So I'm afraid to let us know that we're wrong. And same as like when Jesus is angry, at the temple.
Right.
He's angry, but the reason he's angry is he wants people to know it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's not his viewpoint, just like our anger.
He's justified.
Yeah.
His anger is justified, yet he has some control. Our anger may not be justified, but we lose control.
Yeah.
I see the polar opposites. Yeah. Yeah. He actually can act, and he'll be justified. But yet he does not, right? And we that's the whole story. That's why Jesus, and imagine all of that anger coming down on Jesus for the sin of the world, right? That's tangent, and you can really see how this anger plays out, and why God, one of the characteristics of God, is actually where it plays out into grace and compassion and love, because he has self-control. It means a lot. Okay. Again, first question I asked, why does Moses need to know the name of God? Keep that in mind. Why did Moses need to know the name of God?
Hey Frank, are you going back to the anger thing or are you moving on?
I'm moving on. We'll go back later.
Just one thing on that. I think that's, you know, we come to a point where we realize we're not like God. And then we come to a realization that God has self-control.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have self-control. Then we're at an impasse, right? Then we say, well, can we be like God? So some Christians try to be like God, right? So we try to have self-control.
Okay.
We want to contain our anger. We want to hold it in. We want to not express it.
Good.
But what happens?
You're
just bottling it up, right? You're putting yourself under a pressure cooker. It expresses still in different ways, right? Like stop talking or you start to have an inward hate. You start to disengage, right? Because you can't, it's not resolved, okay? So, but then how, there's just one thing I think it's worthwhile for us to think about it. Like, you know, I teach one of my kids, not the two that are sitting here right now, currently, but who has a big temper, which means they're very emotional. They're a very full of emotion person. They get upset easily, right? Then you say, well, you gotta control your feelings, right? Of course you do. But we can't. Then what happens? Then are you just stuck, right? And then are you just being told that you're wrong or you can't? Actually, that next step is the beauty of what God has done in our lives, because we can't do it by ourselves. The Spirit of God is the spirit of self-control, right? The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So we can't self-control. That's what brings us to God. That's what brings that. You know, I share this with my kid at night, you know, when we pray before we go to sleep, when this thing happens, because this is why we pray and we ask God to change our spirit. We ask God to change our nature. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, because without Christ, without the Spirit, without God and His Spirit, we will not be able to be like God or be like Christ. But God expects us to. But He doesn't expect us to be the way ourselves. He expects us to run to Him and allow Him to take control, right? And we yield our control, and then you discover, wow, that is henceforth how I'm able to manage my anger and know, right, like how to rule my heart and how I should express or not express, because God is taking care of that. And then we enter into where God wants us.
Yeah, and that's why God has a plan. And that's why that is the fruit of the Spirit. You wonder why that is one of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, because that is God. Because I know you can't do it, but I can. I know you can. And you need the Spirit, and which is the whole salvation plan. This is, of course, a byproduct of it, but first is the new Jesus died on the cross for us and to be able to restore us. And this is one big part of it. But I just, connecting the fruit of the Spirit to self-control, you know, it's always been us trying to have self-control. I just never really prayed to God and thank God that He is the one who has self-control. I'm always asking God to give me, give us. But I've, you know, in the study, flip it around. Have you ever thanked Yahweh for His self-control? The fact that He is a God who has self-control. Imagine if He did not. Why did Moses need to know His name, Yahweh? Let's go to the actual passage. I love this part just as much, if not more. Somebody read it really quickly. Well, not quickly, just don't wait. Read it.
Okay, class, we need readers. Like, I think we all read English. Like, just read, let's read. We need that in our class.
Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, Jehovah, the God of Elohim, of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time just always asking. Moses knew the Creator, the Restorer, the one who started everything, Elohim. Right? He says, well, obviously you're talking to Elohim. He created the bush, the fire. And then God says, go bring my people. And Moses goes, what's your name? Well, I'm Elohim. Right? Look at the depth and the beauty of that name that Pastor Alex was going through last 2 weeks. Elohim. Okay, what is your name? God says, okay, my name is Elohim, but I'll give you my personal name. You obviously need it. You need to know. You cannot go to Pharaoh with Elohim sent me. Maybe he could have. But Moses says, what's your name? God says, I am who I am. And that's where you get the YHWH. This is the YHWH. And after all this, what we explained earlier, the tetragrammaton and the Latinization, you get Jehovah. You call it Jehovah. But it's Yehovah. Chinese is Yehovah. This is God's literally said to Moses, my name is Yehovah. Right, this is I am, to be, existence. There's a lot of definitions for that. But the main thing is I am who I am. I am the existing one. What is your understanding? You guys been in church all your life. We have been, right? You heard this. I am who I am in your own words. What do you believe? This is God. I mean, what do you believe this means? Quick group, you guys talk amongst yourself. What do you believe that this name means at all? It doesn't have to be Orion, just discuss. All right, we're all back. I am who I am. I love this name, right? We love this name. What did you guys come up with? Some words to define. And again, this is God's name. We can't define it. So let's try to understand it a little bit, as much as we can. Huh? Infinite. Okay? Infinity sign. Okay. Infinite.
I think you used a word right there. You said define. I think we are always trying to define God in our own words. Everyone has their own, you know, if you asked everybody in this room, we could have a different description of God. I think it is powerful. I was thinking about your question, why would Moses need to know his name? And this phrase, I am who I am, is God saying, I define to you who I am. So I think it's his definition. He is the only one allowed to define who he is.
I define myself.
I define myself. You do not define me. You know, Elohim, a lot of religions believe God is creator.
Mm-hmm.
What's you know,
yeah.
In the context is God telling Moses to go tell Pharaoh, right, to let my people go, and he says, well, who am I going to tell? Like, they're going to say, what right do you have to tell us to let your people go? So I need to know who you are. I need to know your, who you are. Like, what is your credentials?
What are your credentials? Elohim?
Yeah.
I created the sun and the moon. That's my credential.
Yeah.
Right? That's what God is saying.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Elohim. What else do you need? When the creator says, let my people go, do you not let my people go? I created you. I created this throne. I created Egypt.
But they would have their creator gods as well.
Okay, so, yeah.
Just. Yeah, just a thought. I was like.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So when you said define it.
Yeah. So what else did you guys come up with?
It's kind of like a fill in the blank. Like, are you the god of the sun? I am. Are you the god of the people? I am. Like, he's just kind of like a,
all things.
Whatever you can think of, I am. But then also, kind of like, I am god of everything.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But going along with what Charles was saying, I just lost my thought. It's kind of like everything that you can describe, I am. But there's also no words for what I am. Like, you don't need, you know, there's that gap of like, what are you? It's just, well, I can't even describe to you. There's no word for me. Like, so I just am.
So Moses
there
is more
no
confused
human
now.
Words.
So Moses is more confused now.
Yeah.
At least with Elohim, I know you're the creator, you're the all powerful and mighty, you're the restorer, you're the one who gives peace.
He's like everything and more, and that and more is there is no words for it. It doesn't exist in human terms or human existence. It's like even that, like that unknown I am.
So Moses is like, I'm confused. And now it's hard. Mm-hmm. Now if I was Moses, I'm like, now it's harder. Mm-hmm. Because I am.
It's almost like we want to know, like, we want to be able to define God and put him in a sense, it's a proverbial box. It's a intellectual box so that we can comprehend.
Right.
And he's like, I'm beyond that, so I can't even tell you. There's no name for me. I just am. Yeah.
I like that. It's like sometimes we try to explain technical things for people.
I see.
We know you just won't get it.
Oh,
yeah. Don't worry about it. You just
That's what you said to me last time when I was like, hey, what is that?
So it's like, you know, probably having to spend like hours or days to explain the concept to you.
Okay.
Right? Like, so I am who I am means like we probably can spend the whole our lifetime to try to grab it.
I see.
Right.
Interesting.
I still can.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
See, that I know. I wish we had more time because if we did another half an hour, I would want to just have discussion because Pastor Alex last week said he is a God who comes to us. He is not a guy who's going to say, hey, I'm just out there. He is involved, right? Yes, you don't understand what Web3 is. You won't get it. I don't know what Web3, you guys know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Web3 is the cutting edge of technology right now. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it to you. But I'm going to. I'm going to sit with you. He came down. He went to meet Moses, right? But there's that tension. But here's the actual definition in human terms, so that you're right. We cannot box him in. He is infinite. But we do have these definitions, and we have to look at it. It says the ever-living. This is what it says, immutable, not changing, self-consistent, unchangeable. That's what I am who I am means. Immutable means not changing. And honestly, when I heard these definitions, it didn't make a difference. Okay, God, you're the infinite. I don't get it. Let's move on. right? That's how. Yeah, you're all there. Let's move on. Why bother? Why bother? But I think God is trying to tell us something. We don't understand it, but I think He is trying to tell us something. So I want us to ask these two questions this week.
Oh, this week for like
this, well, yeah, I'm running out of time. Yeah. Usually I like to finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to do what Pastor Alex is suggesting. Hey, maybe we just take our time.
Yeah,
I usually like to finish it up. That's okay. But these are the two questions you can ask. We still have the ultimate question, but why Moses needs to know this name? But this may help us. Why does it make a difference in a believer's life that God is self-sufficient? He's self-sufficient. Fine, you're God, you can create. What does it matter to me? You're unchangeable. I get it. You're immutable. You're consistent. You're existing. Fine. That's kind of just what I, when I sing a song, that's what I sing. When I want to make sure you are revered, I say that. But apart from that, why does it make a difference in your life? Why would God's absoluteness make a difference in Moses' life, in my life, in your life? Because I still think that there's a purpose that God revealed this name to Moses. There's a reason why. There's a reason behind it. We'll get to that. This will be a reason. There will be a conclusion. But we have to go through some of these questions before we get to that point. And I think, and I hope, my expectation is that at the end of these two sessions, we'll see, oh, that's why Moses needed to know Yahweh. Okay? Yeah. So go back to the website, and then, you know, if you guys forget this, these two questions, we can ask this. Why does it make a difference that God is self-sufficient and He is unchangeable? Right? Somebody close in prayer for us. Can you close in prayer for us, Father? In Chinese.
In Chinese, okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
实在不能感谢你让我们在这个地方思想是一个什么样，你要我们看到。Lord, we thank you that you can give us this time for us to ponder on who you are so that we can begin to see and understand.
真的求你给我们，感谢你给我们这个机会，让我们认识。We
thank you for giving us these type of times, these moments, so that we can know you.
求你帮助我们一生跟随你。Lord,
help us so that with our all, we would be able to follow you.
也让借着我们能够有更多的。
And help us, Lord, that we would make the most of opportunities to help more people come to know you, God. You are the perfect and good God.
That's it.
We thank you.
So,
we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.